sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast that mixes all the latest news from my little world with interesting stories from the rest of the world. I am your host, Diggy, and as usual, I am going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. This is the section of the show where I answer questions from all of you. So this week's question is a follow-on from last week's question. If you remember, last week's question was, what do I keep in my wallet, or do I carry a wallet, was probably more accurate. And this week's question is, what's in your bag? I've seen these videos on the internet where everyone unloads the bag and shows you everything that's inside it. What's in my everyday carry? I am not going to do that. But I will tell you some of the main things that I keep in there. The reason I'm not going to do that is this is not a video show. This is audio. It would be terribly boring for everybody for me to just talk about all of the little tiny things that's in there. Suffice to say, I keep a bunch of cables in there for charging my devices and a couple of plugs. Although I don't always keep them in there. I have them in a little pack that I take out and put back in as necessary. I don't take them to work with me, for example. So the contents of my bag are different depending on where I am. But on a regular week, I have in there a bag full of my medication, a spare t-shirt, because you never know what you're going to spill on your t-shirt. I have a bag full of wooden knives, forks and spoons, because you never know when you're going to need one. I have some wet wipes because you never know when you're going to need one. You can tell I'm a parent by a lot of these things, can't you? What else is in there? There is a hat, a scarf, gloves, mints, and usually a water bottle of some kind in the side pocket. And I think that's like the main things that I keep in my bag. There's often some snacks in there as well. There's like a packet of nuts and some cereal bars. I keep them in there. And then I just change the rest as is required. So during the week, my lunch goes in there. If we're going somewhere at weekend, the packed lunch goes in there. Whatever we're doing, it just gets changed about for what is necessary. But those things that I just listed are always in there because you just never know. If you would like to ask a question, you can do, and I will use it to open up the show. All you need to do is head to the show notes, or you can go to thatsafreebie.com. There is a link in there for the feedback form. The feedback form is now multi-purpose, so you get the option to ask a freebie question, send general feedback, or submit a topic for Podtails, which is coming up in just a few moments. Before Podtails, though, why don't I, as is tradition, spend the next few minutes telling you all about my week that I've just had. I've got two stories for you. I've got two stories and I've got a shout out for you this week. So let's start with story number one. Let's start with a tram story, because it wouldn't be the same show without at least one tram story in the episode, would it? Because a lot of my life revolves around being on a tram. So this tram is the lady on the tram who just did not have her together. Right? I've never seen anything like it. Like, from time to time, you come across this sort of person, and it blew me away. Like, she might not be like this all the time. This might have just been a one-off occurrence. You know, we all have those times when we're just like, what the hell am I doing? And you have to stop, slow down, and, you know, just take your time and actually sort your life out for a second. But I felt so sorry for this lady. She got on the tram this morning during the week. And clearly nothing was going right for her. So she had about six carrier bags with her, a handbag and a backpack, right? So she was obviously going somewhere that required a lot of luggage of some kind. I couldn't tell what was in the bags or anything. Obviously, I wasn't snooping. But she clearly lost something, right? So she's rummaging around in all these bags trying to find whatever it was she lost. I've still no idea what it was because she didn't find it. She ended up just getting off the tram in a huff at the last stop. But she's rummaging around in the bags. But every time she moved, one of the bags fell over and emptied all over the tram, or something fell out of one of the bags. At one point, her shoe fell off, Right, and we're not talking a little slip-on here, right, like that. No, it was a boot. Like, a boot just fell off. Like, how does your boot fall off? It was chaos, and it was really uncomfortable being next to it because I just wanted to just go over and just go, shh, it's okay. It's okay, just shh, calm down. Have a nap and you'll be fine. But she was clearly not having a good day. She was having a very bad day. And then for whatever reason, like when she'd given up looking for whatever she was looking for, she decided it would be a good idea to start doing her makeup. And it was a mess. Like, there were lines everywhere where the tram was rocking backwards and forwards. You know, sometimes you get on a tram. Well, you might not know. You might not have done it. But sometimes the tram driver, for whatever reason, bellows down them tracks, or it feels like he is. And you go so fast that you are just bouncing about all over the place. And it was one of those days. And, yeah, it wasn't going well for her at all. Yeah, I felt very, very sorry for her. But, hey, life moves on, right? Story number two. So I've told you all about the situation with the pool outside. We had it put in, we filled it, blah, blah, blah. We've had our decking fixed. The trees have all been trimmed and cut back. You know, it's starting to look really good in the back garden, finally. We set up all the garden furniture back as it was, cleaned it all down and everything. Got rid of all the spiders, essentially, is the important thing there. And then my wife decided that she wanted to refill the kids' bean bags. I don't know why. They didn't need refilling. They were exactly as they should be. But I think she just decided that we had a spare bean bag, essentially. It's actually not a spare bean bag. It was my bean bag that I used for doing newborn photography years and years ago. But she decided, because I haven't used it in a while, it would be okay to just take all the beans out of it and move them across to these other bean bags, you know, just to try and pad them out a little bit. Anyway, I don't know if you've ever seen what's inside a bean bag. Now, I imagine there are lots of different things you can put inside, but in our bean bags, they are tiny little polystyrene balls. Must be thousands of them, maybe hundreds of thousands of them. And polystyrene builds static electricity. So I didn't know she was doing it. All I knew is that she was outside doing something, and I was like, yeah, I'm not having any part of that because it sounds like hard work, whatever she's doing. And she came walking in the house, and she was covered head to toe in little polystyrene balls that had just stuck to her and attached to her, and she just couldn't get them off her. We've been finding them everywhere all week. What I didn't realise is that she'd also spilt them all over the floor, so they'd been blowing around the back garden. The front garden looks like it's been snowing. It just looks an absolute mess. They've blown across over into the neighbour's garden, which, as you may know, from previous stories, especially if you're a Plus subscriber, me and the neighbour don't get on very well. And it's, oh man, there are just tiny little polystyrene balls everywhere. It's been over a week now, actually, since this happened. I wasn't going to talk about it, but it's just been getting more and more frustrating every single day. I open the door and see them everywhere. The gardener's been, so now he's shredded them all, so they're even smaller. It's just a mess. I tried hoovering the front garden and the back garden, and I got loads of them up, but nowhere near. We just need winter to come along now and wash them all away. And just, oh man, don't ever try and move balls from a beanbag. If you do, just try and find a logical way of doing it that doesn't involve them just going everywhere, because I don't remember it being that messy when I filled the beanbag. That's all I'm saying. And the shout out for this week is to a friend of the show, Galicia, who I work with in real life. Or I say work with, I worked with. She has moved on to another area of the company. That's not why I'm giving Galicia the shout out. I wanted to give Galicia the shout out simply because what you lot don't know is that she is actually the inspiration behind the name of this podcast. And I will tell you that inspiration at one time, but I thought because she was moving on to Pastures New, I thought we would have a 10-second silence for Galicia. Okay, that's it. Let's move on. This week in Buzz Off, I am talking about argumentative people who can't get stuff right, who just can't own their own mistakes. I've actually got two. It's not necessarily argumentative people, just one of them was argumentative, but people who make a mistake and instead of just going, you know what, yeah, that was my fault, I'm really sorry, and moving on. But no, you get some people that just have to either argue the point or not even acknowledge that there's a thing. So issue number one, text the kids to the dentist last week, and the receptionist says, I have another appointment time for you, because they needed to book in 6 months' time. We are booking the next appointment after it's all over with. And the receptionist says, well, you can only do Wednesdays or Mondays, can't you? And I said, yeah, preferably. But, you know, with enough time, I might be able to put the time off, but I'd rather not if I could help it. And she says, well, I've got Wednesday the 19th of February. And I said, yeah, that is absolutely wonderful. Let's do Wednesday the 19th of February. And then she said, oh, no, actually, I've got a better one for you. I've actually got Wednesday the 12th of February, because that'll be during the school holidays. So I'm sure you'd probably prefer that. I'll book that for you. And she just pressed it, and I received the email. I had my phone in my hand with the calendar open, and I received the email. And I said, actually, no, that wouldn't be better for me, because that is the date of my wife's 40th birthday, so I guarantee we won't be around that day. We already have plans for it. And she went, oh, okay, I thought the school holidays would be fine. I said, yeah, ordinarily they would. Thanks for thinking of that, but no, in this instance it's not, I'm afraid. She went, okay, well, I'll rebook it then for Wednesday the 17th of February. And I looked at my calendar and I went, I've got here that the 19th of February is the Wednesday, the 17th is the Monday. I could do the Monday if it's the Monday, that's not a problem, but I just thought I'd mention it just in case, you know, we've not got our wires crossed. And she went, no, it says right here, Wednesday, 17th of February. And I said, well, it says right here, Wednesday, 19th of February. And you just previously said Wednesday, the 19th of February. She said, no, I didn't. I said the 17th. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. I don't want to argue with you, but it is. I said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you just book it and it'll send me the email and then we'll look at what it says on the email. And she went, no, that's not how it works. And I was like, well, you just did that a minute ago for the other date. Then I didn't say, yes, I wanted. And she went, well, actually, hang on a minute. It has. It's just changed. The system must have been behind. It's just changed to Wednesday the 19th. And I was like, yeah, you were looking at 2024, weren't you? I didn't say that, but she was even looking at 2024 or 2026. She'd gone to the wrong year somewhere along the lines. And she went, oh, yeah, it is Wednesday the 19th. It'll send you an email now saying the date on it. I'm like, oh, what, the thing that I just asked for? So it's like, yeah, just, you know, own up to your mistake. She clearly knew what she'd done wrong. I could see her scrolling while we were having the conversation. I could see her trying to get to the correct year. And anyway, she got there eventually. But yeah, this receptionist is usually really, really nice. Must have just been having one of those days where she wants to argue with people. Anyway, second one. I'm on the tram. Second tram story of the week. It wouldn't be that's a freebie without a few tram stories. I've said this before. And this guy is, for whatever reason, he decided that the best place to stand on this empty tram, and honestly, it was empty, it was just me, one other person closer to the front and this guy near the middle. He decided the best place to stand would be leaning on the emergency call button. And he kept doing it over and over. So what he did is he leaned on it and the tram driver would be like, yes, what's the emergency? And he'd go silent, look around, he'd see the thing and he walked away. Right? So he walked away to the very middle of the tram where there's no button. And at that point, we're all like, right, okay, he's obviously realised his mistake. But instead of saying, sorry, didn't mean to press it, it was an accident, I leaned on it, he just walked away and pretended he didn't do it. 2 or 3 minutes later, he does it again. He's walked back over to where the emergency call button is, leaned on the thing, set it off again. And this time, when we turned around, you could see him like going, oh, no, what an idiot, you know, like slapping himself in the head. But instead of speaking, he just walks away again. He did it 3 times in total. In the end, the driver ended up stopping the tram at the stop, not opening the doors, getting off the tram and walking up to him and saying, why do you keep pressing the button? And he went, I don't. The driver's like, I've watched you do it. I watched through the mirror and saw you do it. He said, you keep leaning on it. He took him over. He went, this is the button here. You keep leaning on this. He went, no. I've been stood over here. And he's like, I've just watched you do it. Anyway, in the end, the driver just went, just don't lean on the button. And anyway, got back on the tram, started driving. He didn't do it again. And he either couldn't work out what he was doing wrong or for whatever reason, just he wanted to press it. You know, as some people do that, I suppose. Probably wanted to cause a ruckus. Who knows? Let's explore a fascinating phenomenon in the world of dreams called false awakening. Imagine this. You wake up in the morning, you start your daily routine, maybe you shower, you have breakfast, you get ready for the day, but then suddenly you realize that you're still in bed and all of that was just a dream. This is what we call a false awakening. It's a vivid and convincing dream where you believe you've woken up, but in reality, you're still asleep. False awakenings often involve dreaming about mundane activities like brushing your teeth or getting dressed. It can feel incredibly real, almost like you're living a typical morning, but you're actually still deep in slumber. In some cases, these dreams can even take on a double dream effect, where you dream that you've woken up from another dream. A classic literary example of this can be found in Gogol's 1835 story, The Portrait, where the protagonist experiences a double false awakening. What's interesting is the connection between false awakenings and lucid dreaming, the kind of dream where you're aware that you're dreaming. Research shows that these two phenomena are closely linked and can even transform into one another. The key difference is that in a lucid dream, you're aware it's a dream, but in a false awakening, you believe it's reality. Once a person realizes they're in a false awakening, they might truly wake up or they may even enter a lucid dream. False awakenings often occur after a regular dream or even after a lucid dream. If a false awakening follows a lucid dream, then it might turn into what's called a pre-lucid dream. In this state, the dreamer starts questioning whether they're really awake, but might not reach a definite conclusion. A study by Harvard psychologist Deirdre Barrett, who featured in our lucid dream section on Podtails a few weeks back, examined 2,000 dreams from 200 subjects, found that false awakenings and lucid dreams are likely to occur together, often within the same night. Sometimes a false awakening can be a cue for lucidity, though it can also cause the dreamer to lose that lucidity. One curious aspect of false awakenings is that they can happen in loops. So imagine waking up, starting your morning routine, only to realize that you're still dreaming. You wake up again, start over, and then the cycle repeats. The philosopher Bertrand Russell once claimed he experienced about 100 false awakenings in a row while coming out of anesthesia. Surely there's got to be a point there where you just never believe you're awake. Man, that must be difficult. Giorgio Buzzi suggests that false awakenings might represent a glimpse into a proto-conscious state, a kind of primitive form of consciousness that reappears during disturbed or highly aroused sleep, such as during lucid dreaming or sleep paralysis. This unique state could offer insights into how our waking experience influences our dreams. Gibson's theory on proto-consciousness suggests that false awakenings are shaped by our daily routine. These dreams often feature incredibly realistic details as our everyday activities or specific memories. It's almost as if a brain is playing back a familiar script. In a false awakening, some things may feel out of pace or exaggerated. You might notice odd details like a distorted painting on the wall or difficulty speaking or reading. Many people report that reading in dreams is tough or impossible. A common scenario involves visiting the bathroom and seeing a distorted reflection in the mirror, which could trigger lucidity, but often just wakes the dreamer up. Celia Green, a prominent researcher in the field, identified two types of false awakenings. Type 1, this is more common. The dreamer seems to wake up, but not necessarily in their own bedroom. Sometimes the surroundings are familiar, but the dreamer might not fully realize they're still dreaming until they wake up for real or fall back asleep within the dream. A classic example of this is the late for work scenario, where you dream that you've overslept and panic, which often jolts you awake. I tend to do this on days off. I jump up, I panic, I start getting ready for work thinking, oh my God, I'm late. And actually, it turns out I'm not late. I'm up really, really early and I'm supposed to be taking the kids to school. which is a whole other kind of panic. And type two, and this is less common, involves a more intense experience. The dreamer wakes up in a seemingly normal environment, but there's a sense of suspense or unease. The surroundings might gradually become strange, filled with unusual sounds or movements. This type of false awakening can feel very eerie, much like the beginning of a psychological thriller. False awakenings are rarely described in clinical or neuropsychological studies, but one notable report from researchers like Takeuchi describes it as a hypnagogic hallucination. Those vivid, very unsettling experiences we have as we're drifting off to sleep. In these cases, people feel like they're raising from bed only to discover that they're still dreaming. During a false awakening, you generally don't feel paralyzed, which is different from sleep paralysis, and you often experience a familiar environment. These dreams are frequently linked to anxiety, and brain activity during them shows a mix of alpha, beta, delta, and theta waves, indicating a state that someone's between waking and dreaming. If you have a subject you would like me to talk about in Pod Tales, feel free to use the feedback form on thatsafreebie.com or within the show notes of this very episode. If you want even more That's a Freebie, then you know what you should do. By now, you definitely know what you should do. You should join That's a Freebie Plus. All you need to do is head over to the show notes of thatsafreebie.com, click the link, and you can join for just £4 a month. Your membership gets you the plus feed of the show that is sent out immediately after it's recorded, which includes almost zero edits other than long gaps, so you can hear me plan the show and hear all of my mistakes. And there are a lot of them. This feed also includes the That's a Freebie Plus segment at the end of the show. This week, I'm going to be talking about the One-Eyed Man. And if you can't or you don't want to join Plus, that is okay. That's fine. You can still help the show by sharing it far and wide and leaving a review in your podcast app of choice. This week, I am continuing the trend of using my podcast listening habits as the pick of the week. This week's podcast is the Doctor Who Flashcast. It's part of the Incomparable Network. It's hosted by Jason Snell and others. It tends to be a rotating cast of people that are on there. And it's a pretty decent podcast if you like Doctor Who. They only talk about the current episode. So it's one of those podcasts that's seasonal. When there's a series of Doctor Who on, they talk about it. When there isn't a series on, guess what they do? They don't talk about it. Yeah. It's simple as that. Decent podcast. If you like Doctor Who, it's good hearing other people's opinions. They talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff as well. It's not too heavy, so they don't get like really into the lore or anything like that. Or if they do, they explain what they're talking about, which is great for casual viewers or viewers that never watched the original series of Doctor Who and have only started from the Chris Eccleston years, like myself. You can find me on pretty much all social media as Hey It's Diggy. You can find the show on pretty much all social media as That's a Freebie or That's a Freebie Podcast. I'm sure if you just search That's a Freebie, you will find it. It is as easy as that. Before I go, though, I do want to just tell you one more story for the week. And this week's is a bit of an odd one, actually, because basically, sometimes I like to write on the walls, like, you know, like get my thoughts down, and the walls are a good canvas for it. And this week I'm you know, writing down on the walls, and I'd got a bit wild. There was text everywhere because I had lots of thoughts. And the wife came in and she came up from work and she went, "What the hell are you doing?" And I was like, "Babe, read the room."